Hello, Donna here. How are you? I hope you are well. It's 2021. Yay! The awful year of 2020 is behind us and we can only look forward. Now, this is episode 11 and it is a look back on 2020 and the episodes of my show that I recorded last year. Well, what is now last year. Now, I did pre-record some of most of this before New Year's Eve, and I've been a bit late, I'm sorry, but I'm definitely putting it out here now. It's a thank you to everyone that's been on this show, and also a big thank you to the listeners and you guys that have listened to me and been on this journey with me. I'm sorry it has been a while, it's been a bit late, you know, life gets better of us at times. However, moving on, it's a new year, it's a new chance, a new adventure, and I look forward to creating more content and keeping you entertained throughout 2021. Anyway, on with episode 11, which is my look back on 2020. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to another episode of To My Younger Self, To My Old Self. My name's Donna. How are we? Well, this is episode 11 and I'm really happy and blessed and I do feel blessed to have this audience. And I'm going to say sorry, I have neglected you. I have left it, what was supposed to be a short break for a couple of weeks, turned into a couple of months. And, you know, even in this year of working from home and self-isolation and only go when to get food or whatever restrictions you're living in, I've still been pretty busy. And my work did really take over a little bit because we've been pretty busy and I've been working long hours and doing on call, but hey, you know, it's fine, it's okay. I'm very mindful that there are many people out there that don't have such security right now. There are many people that are still on furlough, many people in our retail industry and our hospitality industry that suffered quite badly with the lockdowns. And you know, 2020 is also, it's been a year of disaster. We've learned from one disaster. You know, at the beginning of the year, Australia is literally burning to the ground, and you have floods, you have pestilence, you had disease. I mean, my Christian people, throw your hands up. How many of you have been flicking through Revelations right now? What's next? What is the next sign? I'm sure I said a couple of weeks ago I was waiting for the four horsemen of the apocalypse to come riding through town. Joking aside, it has been a rough year. Now, I started this podcast in lockdown, in the toughest restrictions, and I started it because, sadly, I lost my father in April. Right in the middle of lockdown, and it was heartbreaking, and a lot of other people, hundreds if not thousands of other people, have been through a similar situation to myself. You're not able to see your loved ones in hospital, and you're at the mercy of their phone call to say come in, say your final goodbyes. My father was terminally ill and sadly he picked up COVID, managed to shake it off, but unfortunately cancer claimed his life, which it was going to anyway. I didn't get to say goodbye to my father, I didn't get to hold his hand, and most heartbreakingly for me was I was phoned an hour after he passed to tell me that he'd passed away. Now, I'm not going to be angry at the health service. They are doing an absolutely amazing job, and they are on the front line, and they are doing what they can and the best to help those that they can help. It was upsetting. It was disappointing. But at the same time, I'm not going to be mad at the NHS. You had Black Lives Matter movement. The murder of George Floyd resonated around the world. People took to the streets and protested against the unequal treatment of black people all over the world, not just America, but also in the UK. With the COVID deaths also in the UK, because of the disproportionate effects once again on black and Asian communities and workers disproportionately dying from this awful virus. So I went to my friend, actually my best friend, one of my best friends, my sister Rachel, who I am going to get on this podcast at some point, even if it kills me. She needs to come on and do an episode. Arranged her protest where we live in Wolverhampton, and it was amazing. It was amazing to be leading a protest, have hundreds of people marching behind you of all different races and nationalities, all standing up for this one, for the same cause, equality. It's 2020, we're still marching for equality that people were marching for 60 years ago. It's unbelievable. So you had the Black Lives Matter movement, and also was marching for the COVID lives that have been lost, and also the Windrush generation. Now, for those that listen to me on a Marco's podcast, on Mr. Hear Me Out, and for you guys in the States, Windrush is the generation of Caribbean migrants that came over just after World War II to help rebuild the UK, the motherland. They're still part of the British Empire, and they came over. They were recruited. Your motherland needs you. And they came over, and the Windrush generation is named after the ship, the Windrush, HMS Windrush, that carried thousands of these migrants from the Caribbean to Britain, to British shores, for work and to rebuild the country. There's been a lot of controversy this year with this generation being targeted for deportation. They don't have the right paperwork, and the protections that they're told they'll always have were taken away from them by the UK government. And people that thought they had the right to stay in this country were told that they have the right to remain in this country, that had indefinite protection, found out that they didn't. And they were being deportated to countries that they'd never even been to or left when they was a child. Because back then, you'd travel on your parents' or an adult's passport to this country. They had, and sadly, the one piece of paper, their landing card when they got in the country, was sadly destroyed. And I'll probably get into... I'm not going to get into trouble for saying this. This is actually fact. It was in the news. These landing cards were destroyed. And so the only shred of evidence that these people had to say that they entered the country legally when they were 5-6 years old, when they were children, was destroyed. And without that paperwork, their lives were tipped upside down, dramatically tipped upside down. Suddenly, after working for 50 years, they're told they can't have the pension, they can't have free healthcare. Their lives, their families, their children and grandchildren meant nothing. So that was also forming part of our protest. So we had a banner that said Black Lives Matter, COVID Lives Matter, and Windrush Lives Matter. So a couple of days after that protest, and I was riding high on the wind. It was an amazing experience. As I said, it was peaceful, and we had media coverage from local newspapers. We did a press release, and we made sure it was all positive. And we had positive support and positive press. There was no trouble. you know, apart from one person shouting "All Lives Matter," but hey ho, one person out of an entire town centre is pretty good. Very supportive, as I said, of many different races turned out to support us, which is amazing. So a couple of days I was driving in my car and I had an idea. Can I do a podcast? Now, I hadn't really listened to podcasts much before I did this, and it just occurred to me, because also another friend of mine lost her grandfather, who was similar age to my dad, similar age to the Windrush generation, which, you know, they're getting old, they're passing away. And this generation was very secretive. And I know there's other races and other cultures where the elders are a bit secretive. You're the child, you know, even at 40 years old, you're still a child. They don't talk in front of you. It's, you know, big people's conversation, nothing to do with you. And it occurred to me there's so many things that it wasn't even so many things I wanted to ask my father. It just came to my mind. I'm like, damn, I can't ask my dad these questions. I can't speak to my father again. I can't ask him about any more of his experiences when he came to this country. And believe me, my dad told me a lot of stories when he first came over to England and how he was treated. He never hid that from me. He never sugarcoated it. He always told me the truth. And I thought, wow. And I just thought about all the other generations of good kids out there, or young adults, or men and women like me, where we wouldn't get those answers because they were that secretive, and they kept their youth themselves. They never talked about their younger years. And I thought, no, I really want to change this. I think, you know, I'm going to do a podcast where we talk to the older generation and we ask them free questions, you know, that forces them to like give that information to us. Stop holding it. We're losing this generation. We want to keep this wisdom and we want to pass it down. And then I thought it works both ways. Yeah, the younger generation, I know certainly me as an adult and growing up now, there's stuff that I wish my parents told me. And, you know, I also realise it's, you know, they didn't know. You know, I would have liked to know more about them, their personal lives. I'd like to know more about the mistakes they made. There's also stuff that I wish they told me. So that forms my other question. What is it that you wished somebody had told you that you learnt for yourself? And it's something that you learnt for yourself that you want to pass on to someone else, so they don't have to learn the hard way like you did. And then my final question is, you know, what message do you have for your older self, depending on the age of my interviewee, and or what message do you have for your older self, or your younger self? Because that's important. As a young person growing up in the world today, what would you say to the 40 or 50 year old version of yourself, and someone that is 40 or 50 or mid 30s, what would you say to your younger self? What would you say to the teenage version of yourself that you wish someone told you as well? So the two questions are similar but very, very different. What I would say to my younger self and what I wish someone had told me are two different things. So that's really was the concept of my podcast, and that's what I went with. It's not so, and like I said, I didn't listen to podcasts, and if I did listen to podcasts before by accident, it will be like current affairs, or it will be about murder. I love my murder mysteries. You know, I like my spiritual kind of things. So the kind of concept I had for my podcast was not the actual kind of podcast that I listened to, but it's something that came to me in my heart, and I decided, you know what, I really want to do this. This is what I want to do, you know, because this is what resonated with me at the time, and I felt was needed. Okay, so it came about. I found Anchor, which you hear about, my little thing about Anchor and how to make a podcast. So yeah, I found Anchor and I thought, this is possible, I can make a podcast, wow. And I thought of a name, created it, and before I knew it, I posted my first episode, and it was going out on Google, it was out on Apple, it was out on all these places like Castbox, where I used to listen to podcasting in the past. And it was just like, wow, whoa, whoo, yay, whiz, jeez, wow. You know, I'm everywhere. And people started listening, you guys. And I'm so grateful. So I'm like, okay, I better get some guests on, you know, and start talking. So I did. And I started off with friends and family. And I'm kind of lucky. I have interest. I know interesting people. And I'm friends with interesting people. And these interesting people actually want to talk to me and be part of the podcast and put their stories out there as well. And so next thing I'm going to say is that I am grateful for every guest I've had on this podcast in 2020. Thank you for coming on, thank you for speaking to me, and thank you for putting your truth out there, speaking your stories, and literally being so raw and deep in some places where I wasn't even expecting it. Now, even though this was my most recent episode, I'm going to talk about my interview with Mel a little bit. And I'm not sure if you can tell when you listen to it, but there was a moment where Mel completely took me by surprise. So we went to secondary school together. We reminisce about our school days, and even though it was literally only the 1 year we was in school together, we have this bond. We wrote to each other, we wrote letters to each other. You know, she moved to London, I stayed in Birmingham. She still remembers coming to my house, she remembers, you know, my parents walking our journey home from school. I remember sending her a Jodeci record, you know. Just sending and writing to each other. And then you grow apart, you drift. And then this thing called Facebook comes along and you start finding all these people you haven't spoken to in years. So I have been a social media kind of watcher of the past few years in Mel's life. And she's a brilliant and wonderful and talented artist. And I really wanted to have her on because I think she's absolutely amazing. And I was not wrong. Her story was incredible. It resonated with me, so many people, a lot of people listened to it. And I know they felt the story. She talked about creativity being stifled by older people, by, once again, the Caribbean kind of generation. You know, you don't make money being an artist. They expect you to get a job, be a doctor, lawyer, you know. As this British comedian says, I can't remember her name, but she says, you know, there's three options: lawyer, doctor, disgrace to family. It's funny, but it's absolutely true. It's literally that are your options. Anything outside of that, they start scratching their heads like, no, what money can you make? And when she told me about losing her child, I actually didn't know that. And I had no idea that that was going to come out on this interview. And it humbled me. It broke my heart to know that she'd been through that and I didn't know. And it humbled me so much that she felt she could say that. She felt she could, she talked her truth, and she wanted to. And after we finished the recording, I called her and I spoke to her and I said, Mel, I didn't know that that had happened to you. Are you sure you want to talk about it? Do you want me to keep that in? And I thought that was so deep for me. I thought, are you sure you want to really say this to the world? And she says, no, she didn't mind at all. She wanted to tell her story and she wanted to speak her truth and hope that it helped somebody else out there. And that's still humbles me to this moment. I'm trying not to get emotional even talking about it, but it was like, wow. And I thought, this is what it's about. This is what this idea is about, is really people speaking their truth. Before Mel, I had an interview with Marco. Now Marco's fun, so he, and I'm going to do another thing for him. So he is the presenter of Mr. Hear Me Out podcast, and he he contacted me on Twitter. We started talking, we had a couple of calls, and you know, I recorded an episode for his show where I thought quite deep about myself. He brought it out of me as well, and he recorded one for me, and I like it. We talk about music, we talk Beyonce, and we, you know, just have talking about what he wanted, and it's really nice to get a guy's perspective, especially an American guy on the show, and give him his perspective. And when I was on his show, when I was talking to him about Black Lives Matter and the kind of things that I'm involved in over here in the UK, and talking to him about the racism that I received when I was growing up and the racism that the kids at my school faced growing up, I hadn't even revisited that part of my school life in many, many years. And he was actually shocked and surprised that there was a racist group threatening to attack the school, and there was actually phoning in death threats to my headmaster. You know, we're going to come for Carter Wiseman. They used to write it in the bus stops. NF, which stands for, if you're not from the UK, it stands for National Front, this right-wing group in the UK, that would actually write death threats in the bus shelter at our school that these kids would see, and they'll give a date, you know? And it's all this kind of craziness that I grew up with, and it's a surprise that I'm such a well-grounded person to think that, you know, my school was suffering, was getting threats sent by racist national groups. It's crazy, but yeah, it happened. So any of my school friends that went to, or anyone that went to Cardinal Wiseman around that time that remembers, please drop me a voice message, drop me a message on Facebook, on the To My Younger Self, To My Older Self page. Let my listeners know this actually did happen at Cardinal Wiseman. It happened. But I'm sure there's lots of other people that got far worse stories to tell. So before I had Mark on the show, I did interview Simona. Simone, once again, she's my soul sister. I've known Simone, goodness, nearly 20 years now. And once again, she's just this incredible person. She's multi-talented, she's driven, she's, you know, she's got a business head on her, she's a qualified teacher. And even her story, wow. My goodness me. And the way she delves into the length that people go to have an extraordinary life, to have the hype, to have the luxury items, to be driving the flashy cars, and yet you don't know where this money's come from. You're thinking, has this person got their money? And then you've got someone that's on the right path, doing the right things, doing it the legal way, the long way, not after the fast money, questioning their life, saying, what am I doing wrong? How come she's got this and I haven't got that, and she's on the right path? Because what she doesn't know is how that other person's making that extra cash. And it was by illegal means. She was real, she talked the talk, she just put the truth out there. And once again, I kind of scaled it back, phoned her a little bit after the interview. Simone, are you sure you actually want to put this out there? She's like, yes, because I want other people to hear this story and know. And I was like, wow. So yeah, Simone, amazing interview, fun to speak to. We actually had alcohol on that one as well, so I think it was starting to kick in at certain points of the interview as well. But anyway, so my episode before that, Ask the Twitterverse and you shall receive. Now, I had the most of my, I did have a lot of fun with this one. It ended up being more of almost a comedy one. And I want to do another episode like this similar. It's just finding the right question to ask, the right poll to put out there. But it was like, what is it your parents say? And the answers that I got. And I actually promoted this tweet on Twitter, and I got so many votes, and I got some amazing and hilarious replies about what parents say to their kids from different people from all over the world, UK, States, Scotland. I think the Scottish reply, when I tried to say it in a Scottish accent, you what? Bored? I'll give you something to do. And it's always that, if you want, I'll give you something to cry for. All those things that our parents used to say to us and traumatize us with, it was the childhood trauma. And I played that one to my mum actually, and my mum She's amazing. She's very supportive of me, and I do play her my podcast episodes as well, and in the car when she's driving with me. And she said I was a complete liar and I fabricated half of what I said about her. No, I didn't. Because she then on the other side, I saw her smirking and grinning. So I'm like, yeah, mama, you know I'm completely right on that one. So that's the Twitterverse, another good episode. And then before that, I had my interview with Katie, another good friend of mine that I work with. And her interview was fun. It was amazing. And I loved the fact that I called it Avoid That Iceberg. Because that's a phrase, avoid that iceberg. You know, that kind of thing that you know you shouldn't be pursuing, that is going to sink you. And once again, it was about the pressure that I put on women, the young girls, you know, you're looking on Instagram, you're looking at all these photoshops, pictures of people and these perfect lives, and it's realizing that is not real. It is not real. People are just showing their fake side. They're just showing their best side, and it's not worth depressing yourself over and getting stressing yourself over, you know. And once again, Marco touched on it as well, and I remember thinking that's really interesting for a guy to say that. So you realize that both men and women are going through the same kind of pressures, looking at these perfect lives, this million-dollar lifestyle, this perfect looks, and just comparing themselves and just getting depressed and upset when they fall short of this unobtainable level of beauty. It affects us all, and it affects so many of us, but together we'll get through it. You know, you're not alone. You are not alone in this. And you know, important message. So before Katie, one of my early interviews was with Dwight, who is my older brother. And I look back at that one and I was so nervous speaking to him. I was genuinely nervous speaking to my brother. I really was. Because I'm his younger sister, he's my older brother. He usually just gives me a scowl of disapproval. And it was lovely having him on. He actually genuinely enjoyed it. Normally, your old brother doesn't want to have anything to do with what you're doing, right? He's too cool and too grown for that. But no, he came on and it was amazing because we talked about, we have the same upbringing. We grew up in the same house. And, you know, we have very similar views. But what I loved about when I asked him, what do you wish someone from the older generation told you about? And it was take more risks, you know, take more risks, because there are other people out there that have been taught to take risks and learnt to invest in stock market or buy investment property at a really early age, and we weren't taught that. And his story about Google is absolutely true. I remember that at the time. I'm not going to tell you what the story is. If you want to know what this my brother's story about Google was, and once again, it is absolutely true, you need to listen to his interview or listen again and get that story. And I'm sure there's a lot of other people that got very similar stories to that one, but I'm not going to give it away. The one that I did before that is actually my least popular, or one of my least popular episodes. And maybe it's because I use the forbidden B word, and that B word being Brexit. And it's still kind of in my mind. It's still going on in the news. It is very British. It's but everyone knows about it over the world. It's very controversial as well to air your view, whether you will remain or leave. It was controversial to ever air your view, because you'll always have someone that was always really against it or someone that was really for it. Even within my own family, it was people that were for it, people that are against it, and then I'm having arguments with people. So Brexit, whether you voted remain or leave in the referendum, is literally like dynamite, kind of tinder paper, whatever it is, touch paper, you know, when you light a fuse, you have to literally run before it explodes. Not my most listened to episode, but I don't regret it. It is about thinking about the youth and one of the reasons why I voted the reason why I voted the way I did. And it was after having a conversation with my young niece and nephew. And the question was, if you could vote, because we're not old enough to vote, if you could vote, which way would you vote for and why? And they both gave me such amazing reasons. I thought, kids have an opinion and they're paying attention to the news. They know what's going on. And they also, if they had a say in their future, this is what they would do. And that's why I still did that episode. I don't regret doing that episode. And if you hate me for all talking about Brexit, I don't care. I'm talking about Brexit literally in the context of this podcast. So my episode before that, I've literally done like a backwards kind of work, was my interview with Ruben. Now, even though Ruben was episode number two, he was my first interview and he was up for it. He wanted to tell his story. I really was interested from a younger person's perspective, and he did not disappoint. He amazed me with what he said, his answers, his questions, and most importantly, what he said about his older self. His message to his older self is, don't take things so seriously. That's deep. And I was just like, wow. Now he complains when he listens to my other podcast and the other episodes, like, I didn't go deep enough. You know, I really want to redo mine. But, you know, he was my first interview. I didn't know how deep it was going to go. I didn't expect him to go deep. I didn't know how long it was going to be. And you know what? I might do another one with Ruben, just like a year later sort of thing. Okay, well, maybe I will do another episode with Ruben if he wants to. You know, my other guests have up the ante so much. but I have got some guests that I'm lining up for 2021. Going to the older generation, a little bit older than my older brother. I think I've hovered around people my age almost by accident. But once again, it's just the response of people that are wanting to come on and tell the stories. I think it's been absolutely amazing. So yes, I am concentrating on the generation above me for my next lot of episodes. And yeah, and I also plan to get some interesting people to come along. Come and join me. Come speak to me. I won't bite. So my very first episode was more of an introduction to the podcast and an introduction to myself. And I would admit, I didn't go deep in this one. It was deep. I mean, what I did say is something that I really felt about, especially not listening to other people's opinions on your looks, because that is something that had affected me for very many years. I'm thinking I'm moving on for that trauma, because I'm actually quite happy with myself again. I can look at myself in my glasses, suffering from another breakout. I just say it's masky now. Mask me. This new thing where you get breakouts from wearing a mask. It's a real thing, I think. I think it is a real thing. It's certainly starting to happen to me. And people say, well, you got really... It just shows how youthful your skin is if you're still getting breakouts. But adults get breakouts too. It happens. And I still kind of look at myself and I don't feel the need to put a load of foundation on my skin. And why would I put foundation on my skin anyway? I mean, I'm working from home. I'm not going anywhere. And I hardly have worn foundation, so I still can't understand why I'm getting these breakouts. But anywho, you know, I do fix stuff when I'm stepping out in public. And it really was that. But what can I say? 2020 has been an unprecedented year for so many of us. And yes, I don't want to mention the C word anymore, or the P word, or the Q word. We've all heard it enough. And we can only hope and pray that it gets better. Vaccination, I'm not going to get onto that. It's almost as controversial as Brexit. I'm not going to say vaccinate or not vaccinate. Your opinions and your minds and your bodies are your own to make your own decision. But what I will say, as always, is to stay safe and look after each other, because we are in unprecedented times. And I'll be very also interested, I might add another question. I might add question number four, because 2020 has been such an unprecedented year, and just say what has lockdown taught you? What lessons have you learnt from 2020? What is your takeaway? What is your positive takeaway from this year? And I have a couple of positive takeaways, despite 2020 being personally traumatic for me, as it has been for many other people as well. And taking over my dad's allotment was certainly a brilliant choice. I kept it on for sentimental reasons, but it's also kept me sane. It's benefited me mentally and my leaps and bounds, learning and being to grow my own food and reaping that produce, taking it home, cutting it up and cooking it, and thinking, you know, I nurtured that, I grew that, you know, it didn't get eaten by insects or birds, and it wasn't sprayed with pesticides, you know. I have full control over every morsel, you know, that I produce. And growing your own food is amazing. It is hard work. It also doubled up as my exercise. The gyms were closed, so I was getting fresh air, exercise, and yeah, it was. Although it was through the loss of my father, I obtained the allotment. It's really kept me sane and kept me going. As well as doing this podcast, I've become more creative again. It's amazing how you can look at 2020 in the traumatic and horrible way that it is, but you can also look at it in a different way. You can look at it the way that maybe for some people out there, you became more creative. Like me, I hadn't been creative in such a long time, yet my creativity has come back to me. I'm doing this podcast, I am, you know, rearing this wonderful wholesome allotment. I have an Instagram page dedicated to that allotment and followers from all over the world. You know, I've now decided to get myself a camera so I can take more professional pictures. I've rooted plants, and you know, and planted them. And you know, usually if I broke a branch of a plant, I'd sit and I'd cry, thinking, "Oh, I'll throw it in the bin." And now I thought, no, it's not the end. I'm going to put it in water until it grows roots. And I grew roots. I have two new plants now. I know it sounds kind of crazy. Everyone must be thinking, what? But that was an achievement to me. An achievement for me, because I never grew anything properly. I had houseplants, but this year I grew, even before Dad passed away, I decided I wanted to grow more food, and I grew peppers and cucumbers in my apartment and chilies, and I still got those in the fridge. And now having an allotment, I grew potatoes, kale, winter vegetables, my broad beans are absolutely amazing. And just, you know, the piece that comes with, it's hard work, but it's really, really rewarding. And you know, giving it away as well, giving away my fruits and vegetables to, well, not fruit yet, but the vegetables to my family, being able to, like my dad did, it's something that he did a lot. He'll go around and just give away his produce to various people that he grew, and it's one of the reasons why I kept it, because that's one of the things that people are coming back to me and saying, oh, your dad used to give us this, your dad used to give us that. And I'm thinking, you know what, I'm going to keep the allotment so I can keep that tradition going. Still got many years to learn as much as he did, but you know, I'm really proud of that, and I am proud of this podcast. I am grateful for every single one of you listening to me and your feedback, and I am going to do this more. I'm so sorry I left you so long, and I, you know, let life overtake me, and I've been more creative. I've been, you know, I'm taking more photos, I'm filming, I'm editing, I'm doing so many different things, and things that I used to do and things that I studied in my past life, and it's all coming back to me. So 2020 has just given me it's given me my creativity back. My mind is clear and I can think and I can formulate my ideas and I can put them into fruition. And this Christmas I made gifts, I made scented candles. Everyone loves them and is raving about them. You know, I took more time to learn skills. I took time to really write down my formulas for my fragrance to wax ratios, you know, knowing what wicks to use, started taking pictures, got myself a decent camera, getting back into photography and growing stuff, and, you know, just being creative around and doing that around my full-time job. So 2020 has awakened my creativity. I've reconnected with so many people. I've interviewed on this podcast wonderful people that have spoken their truth in such a unfiltered and raw and unfiltered way, and that I'm grateful for, you know, anyone, my guests that have been on this show. And I would also say this, if you wish to be on this show, then by all means, please drop me a message, follow me on Twitter. So if you want to get me on Twitter, it is at TMYSTMOS1. That is at TMYSTOMS1. So that's to my younger self, to my older self, one. I'm also on YouTube where I do put my couple of episodes. I might start doing video once my breakouts stop or I decide to wear makeup and put my camera on one day. So I'm on YouTube, just do the same search, TMYSTOMS, to my younger self, to my older self. And I am on good old Facebook, good old reliable Facebook, and it's the same. So you go to Facebook, and if you just put in that TMYSTOMS1, you will also find my Facebook page. Please like and follow, drop me a message, and drop me a voicemail as well on Anchor. I'm loving to hear voice messages. Give me a follow, give me a like, subscribe on YouTube, and please talk to me, man. Talk to me. Let me know what you think of the show. Let me know. And feedback is king, you know. Feedback is king, whether it's good, whether it's negative. And it's funny, as I talk about feedback, I had some feedback on one of my episodes, and when we were talking about sex work, and one person thought I was being a bit derogatory towards it. You know, sex work is still sex work, we not to look down on it. And I don't look down on sex work. I actually don't. I've known a few people that have been in that, those kind of lines over my lifetime. And so I will also say, if there's anything that, if there's anything negative or anything you feel like I've said that, you know, doesn't seem quite fair, then by all means let me know and I will always address it. Now, I do not look down on set works at all, and I apologize if it came across that way. And at the same time, I'm very aware that there are people that have very little choice in that, and obviously need help and support to remove themselves from that life as well. And you have your plus and you have your dark side to that kind of work, and there is a dark side to it, and we can't be naive of that, and I'm certainly not naive of that as well. And just to address that feedback that I did get, and I do listen to feedback, but it's been mostly positive and supportive, and, you know, my guests that I've been on have been really well received. I know there are stories and that have been told on this podcast that have touched other people, and that is my main goal. If it helps somebody else, whether I know them, whether it's somebody that is listening for the first time, whether it's something that comes up on another conversation that resonates with somebody else in a different way, then that is really what it's about. 2020 has been an absolutely disgusting year for so many people. It's been traumatic, it's been awful. You've got lockdowns, restrictions, job losses, people sick, people dying, people are also in denial of it. Your opinion is your own, and I'm not here to be for or against any such opinions. How people feel in this lockdown, whether they feel that it's excessive, whether you have the other camp that feel that people are just being disruptive and not really considering their health benefits, I understand and hear both sides of the arguments, and I hear it all. But I will say this, Whatever your opinion is, I will not judge you. It is fine. You always have your own opinion. And if you disagree with anything I say, I get that you're entitled to. Please feel free to tell me. But the most important message I will say is Happy New Year to you all, no matter what you're doing, whether you're with a many or with a few in your home, which is what the UK government is now telling us to stay at home and stay safe. Whatever you choose to do for New Year's Eve, I hope you bring it in with people that you care about. Video call those that you cannot be close with. I hope that you have a wonderful and prosperous and bless 2021. Not quite out of this really weird and unprecedented year yet. There's still going to be things going on into the next year that are still going to be having repercussions and affecting many, many people out there, hundreds, thousands, if not millions of you. And we can honestly say, yeah, we are all in this boat. You know, we are all in this boat. But stay blessed, have a fabulous and happy New Year's Eve. Get drunk or not get drunk, I'm not judging. And yeah, stay safe, each and every single one of you. Thank you very much from the bottom of my heart. I'm grateful for every single listener, for every country and corner of the UK that you are. You are appreciated. I appreciate you. And thank you for being on this journey with me. Take care.